the tracks and the setup and everything like that. And look, it's different over there because it's the reverse. Whereas here, the main code is the gallops and harness racing tacks on the back of that. Basically, it's swapped over in Norway. So 90% of the turnover of the total turnover pie comes from harness racing, and only 10% provided by the galloping team. But look, they don't carry whips. Their punters don't have a problem with it, but it's been in since the early 80s. While there is some push occasionally from the drivers over there to push back and try and get their whip back, there is no thought in the short term of that happening. We also got the chance to meet with Dawes, have a phone hook up with some administrators from Sweden who run the sport over there, and they mentioned in the meeting that they are watching the Australian issue very closely, and if Australia does go down the no whip path in the next 6 months, then Sweden are very interested to see how it works, and if it is a success, they will look to follow suit. So it's obviously times are changing in regards to animal welfare, and people watching horse racing don't want to see horses being whipped heavily to the line. And look, I think the participants in Australia have really taken note. There's been some changes in the way the whip can be used since 2009, and drivers and trainers they understand that, and they have modified their action, but continued pressure on the sport and from animal welfare is obviously starting to build a little bit. But we're going to discuss it fully in the gig on Tuesday night from 6 o'clock. We'll have a representative from Harness Racing Australia. I spoke with the chairman, Jeff Want. He's happy to come on. He's also offered up his CEO, Andrew Kelly, who was also in Norway with me. So one of those gentlemen will be joining me on the show. And we'll also have Lance Justice, who's going to represent the trainers and drivers. So really looking forward to discussing the issue. And obviously there's been a fair kickback from participants in Australia about the proposed changes. So we'll discuss that all on Tuesday night on In the Gig, Sky Racing 2.
And Greg, did you see the lack of whips in action? Did you see any racing over there?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be there for two meetings. I was there at Yerka. They had a meeting on a Monday morning, which is effectively, they only put the meeting on, there's a little bit of local betting, but it's mainly for the French, because it dovetails in nicely into their time zone, and we covered a few of those races as well. It was Monday night, going back nearly a fortnight, we covered three races in Australia. And, I got the chance to have a look at that. I must admit, the first race I got there, I was really concerned because the drivers sat like statues and when they hit the line, Australian punters are not used to that, and watching that race. But as we got through later, the guys, and the girls, they're all using, they use their reins to drive the horses out. There may need to be some, there'll be give and take on both sides, I think. Look, there's going to have to be some concessions given from both sides, but I think some stage down the future we will go whip free racing, whether it's this year or whether it's in 10 years time. I think we're in this day and age, I think that's what people what the community want to see.
Very interesting, and more will be unveiled in the gig, and also obviously on the pace on Tuesday morning as well there with Greg Hayes. Okay, look, we'll get stuck into what happened over the past week, and I guess starting last night, you had the Country Series Final, 4:08. Matt Roos standing by to have a chat with you. He's with us now, Greg. We'll just hear how it ended for 4:08.
400 metres left to go, 28 to the quarter. Monavay given full bore, goes out after 4:08, who's still led. In fact, 4:08 now beats off the challenge of Monavay. The only danger is going to be Recipe for Dreaming, but I'll tell a man there's no danger at the moment because 4:08 is clear. It's race 3-4 in front of Recipe for Dreaming, and they were followed further out of the track getting home late by Manaway running a big race, but it is an easy one coming up for 4:08. Cracks its Menangle, the maiden, and goes home to beat Recipe for Dreaming. Flying from nowhere, Manaway, big run, grabs third. And then came Apollo 13, Good run also.
Really strong performance by 408. This horse has been knocking on the door to win a race at Menangle, has run fourth in a Group 1 there, has been placed second on two occasions and a couple of thirds as well. Matt Thrill is his trainer driver. He's joining me on the program. Morning, Matt.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Mate, really well. You must be really happy that the horse has finally been able to break through at Menangle and do it so impressively to race 152 and get home in 26.5. He's hitting form at the right time of the season for you.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's definitely a big thrill to sort of get that first win out of the road. It's not as if he's been disappointing down there at all at any stage. Like, all of his runs down there have been at a top level, and he hasn't had the best run of barrier draws down there or anything, so a lot of things went in his favour last night, and he was able to capitalise on it. So, yeah, it was a good win, and like you said, to get home in 26.5 at the end of the mile, that was quite pleasing.
How strong was he on the line? Was he doing that within himself?
I wouldn't say he had a whole lot left. He would have kept going at that speed for a little while longer, but I wouldn't say he could have run a whole lot quicker, so to speak. Sort of leading isn't really his go either. He is a better horse driven from behind, so for him to run much quicker than that, I'd reckon he'd probably have to do it with a stick. Though I reckon he could run quite a lot better than 152 from behind though, yeah.
He ran fourth in the Breeders' Challenge final last year behind Charlevoix. Is that the main target this season, the Breeders' Challenge?
Yeah, it is. I sort of had that on our plans ever since last year's final. Really, everything's just been ticking away, aiming up for this year's final. You know, obviously, it's going to be a really hard race again. We'll have our Waikiki Beach in it this year, as well as some local hopes. Like you said, Charlevoix will be there again. Match in Heaven, I thought his run was a lot better last night too, and a few other horses, Luke McCarthy's horse as well, I just can't think of his name now, but there is quite a lot of nice horses around, but I'm sure he's up to most of them.
What's the, I know there's a Group 3, there's a four-year-old Group 3 there next Saturday night, the Mount Eden. Do you look at that race just to keep him ticking over, or do you give him a week off and get him ready for that Breeders' Challenge series?
Yeah, I'm just going to have a look at him this afternoon to see. At this stage, he's pulled up really well. He's out in the paddock at the moment. We'll just have a bit of a talk to the owner overnight about that. I'd like to definitely give him one more run at least before the Breeders' Challenge, so that will possibly be it. It's just that it'll all just have to fit in of how many trips he has to Sydney, you know, leading up into the race. So it may be the white road to go, or it may be not. So we'll just have to have a think about it, but it's definitely on the cards.
You mentioned there that you think he's a better chaser, but last night it led and he went 152. It's nice to be going into these big races with a horse that is so versatile and does have gate speed, that if you draw well, you can use it. But if you draw poorly and you're used to those draws at Menangle, it's not game over. You've got a motor underneath you that can come from the tail of the field if that happens.
Yeah, that's true. Like, there's been a few times and then occasions where he's been beaten down there. He's got home in low 53 for his last 800. So when you've got that kind of speed under your belt, if you get an awkward draw and you settle back, as long as there's speed on early, he can come over the top of most horses anyway. So, but a lot of things have got to go your way for that to happen. You need good speed the whole race, so... But, yeah, it is very pleasing. It's only his last three starts that he's actually led, and I've felt confident to do it on him. So I think with a bit more age on him now and a bit of maturity, he's really starting to strengthen up with racing.
Breeders' Challenge, pull him up for the season. Do you give him a spell then?
Yeah, I think he will definitely shut down for a while after that. I don't think he'll have a long time off, but he'll definitely have some kind of a break. And then I guess the law depends. Like, there is a few really nice races in Queensland over there, Carnival too. I just don't know whether to travel with him this year or we've been really patient with him throughout his career, whether to just wait one more year before we tackle some big races like that. I'm not sure, and I guess a lot of that will all depend on how he performs through the Breeders' Challenge Series too.
You mentioned travelling there. One filly that did get a trip away recently from your stable was Call Me Queen B. She went down to Melbourne for the Australian Pacing Gold. She ran sixth in the final. You've done a fantastic job with her. She's made two Group 1 finals. She's only had the eighth start. What's the latest with her? When do we see her next?
Probably not until next season now, Greg. We travelled down to Melbourne, as you said, and we come home, and it was only a 10-day break for her until her next run, which wasn't ideal because of the way the Breeders' Challenge system works. You've got a race in your own area, and unfortunately our race was 10 days later, so it didn't really fit the program real well, but we had to go around, and she was disappointing on the night. She ran third, but it was a well below par run for her. So we put her out in the paddock for 5 or 6 days to see how she'd freshen up, and just wasn't really happy with the way she still looked. So me, along with all the connection, we decided we're going to finish her up for the season. She's done a great job, so I think if we look after her at this end of this season, you know, we might be a bit closer to the better ones next year.
Well, mate, yeah, the stable's firing, especially on the back of a horse like 408. Well done with the win last night, and we look forward to seeing you through the Breeders' Challenge.
Thanks very much, Greg. And, yeah, a couple of nice barrow draws again and a bit of luck. I'm sure he'll be there somewhere.
Beautiful. There you go, Kev. Matt Rue, the trainer of 408, named after Phil Hughes, the cricketer, who was number 408.
Wow.
The players to represent the country.
Wow, that's a nice touch. Good story. Also last night there at Tabcorp Park was the Trotters Derby, Paisley, with the Custodian. $1.20 it paid. Here's how it won.
But as they straighten up for the run to the judge, the leader is Custodian. There might only be one danger here if there is one, and that's Empire Bay, and they're clear of Delta Sun and Four Walls. It's Custodian, the leader. Two in front of Empire Bay. Four Walls, the fillies, running a grand race, gets into the clear. 27-8 the split, but it's Custodian, the leader. Still two in front of Empire Bay. Four Walls is coming at it with Delta Sun in a good battle for the miners, but it's Group 1 glory for Custodian, and Custodian leads all the way to beat Four Walls, getting second, I reckon, running a cracking race, the filly. Third's a camera between Delta Sun and...
Okay, so Custodian got home comfortably at $1.20, but Freddie was pretty impressed with the filly that came second.
Yeah, exactly right. She ran out of her skin. Matt Craven's filly Four Walls, the three I've really taken on the boys, and she's a maiden, so she'll win a race very soon. Custodian spoke to Nathan Jack after the win. He said he's a hard horse to race because you just don't know how fast you're going. He covers the ground so well. He didn't want to go as fast as he did through the middle stages, 28.7, 27.8. He'll go to Victoria. He'll get ready for the bigger races down there. They'll consider the home field, but obviously the Victorian Trotters Derby and also the Breeders' Crown will be his main aims. Ticking along nicely, former Mark Purden runner, now with Amanda Turnbull and Nathan Jack, and was super impressive last night.
What about last night at Newcastle? Talk us through that.
Yeah, there were some very good performances in the Breeders' Challenge piece. Make Mine Heaven for Jimmy Rattray. Caught up with Jimmy on the pace a couple of weeks ago about Make Mine Heaven, and he said she's just taken a while to mature, but she's starting to hit a stride, and that's exactly what happened. She continued that rich vein of form she's in at the moment last night at Newcastle, and then there were a couple of heats for the three-year-old Colts and Geldings. The cross stable coming to the fore got a good reason and a stride, both performing extremely well, and they move through now to the semi-finals. So some very strong racing there at Newcastle. Obviously drivers and trainers were split a little bit last night with the strength of that Newcastle meeting and also Menangle, but overall great night of harness racing in New South Wales.
Before we talk about what's coming up in the coming week, what about tonight? We were talking about Norway, you mentioned Sweden earlier. The Elite Lops on tonight, right? For the non-tragic, tell us about the significance of this.
This is the Melbourne Cup for people who don't understand. This is massive in Sweden. Obviously trotting the main code over there. The Elite Lop is their main race. They get a huge crowd. It's running Sunday afternoon, so a Sunday night out time, and they run heats. The horses get about an hour and a half off. They then run the final. And in that time, trainers will try all little tricks. They'll remove their shoes. They'll just to try and give them a little bit more speed. And you can't nurse them through the heats because your time and finishing position in your heats dictates where you draw in the final. So effectively, if you're the fastest qualifier, you get to pick what barrier you want. And then the slowest qualifier, the worst result in the heats, he gets the last barrier that's left. So very important that you get through and run a good time in the heat, and then you get to you get a good draw in the final. But it is going to be a cracking race coming from everywhere across Europe, and there's also some American interest as well. So a really exciting race, you'll hear all the coverage on Sky Racing. I think Jason Lincoln is looking after that tonight, and there'll be some Australian interest as well with Darren Aaron McCall and Chris Alpert trackside, and I know that Jason's going to catch up with at least one of those gentlemen.
And how long has this race been on for? Is it like the Melbourne Cup, 100 years or more?
Oh, it's a long, long time.
Yeah.
And basically what you get over there, it's a little bit different from the Melbourne Cup in the fact that it really becomes like a sporting event, because you get the Swedes obviously supporting their local horses, but it becomes very patriotic. You get the Italians travelling over to cheer on the Italian horse. You get the Norwegians travelling to cheer on the Norwegian horse. Not every year is there a representative from each country, but it just depends on what horses are racing well at the time and what horses qualify. But that's how it all works, and it does become very patriotic. And you'll see sections of the crowd tonight all decked out in colours of Sweden, and you'll see all colours, certain parts of the crowd all decked out in colours of Denmark, and just supporting their local horse.
Excellent. And you'll be tuned in, no doubt, as you do.
Looking forward to it. Should be good.
So outside of that, what are we looking forward to in the next week, Greg?
We've got three Group 1s, Friday night at Gloucester Park, the Diamond Classic. There's also the Yearling Sale Series Final at Redcliffe, Group 1 for the first time Friday night. That will be an absolute cracker, and I'm looking forward to getting to Redcliffe the following Friday night for the Redcliffe Cup. And then next Saturday night, we've got the Noel Simpson Memorial Trotters Oaks at Melton. And the main race at Menangle next Saturday night is that Mount Eden, the four-year-old race at the Group 3. And as Matty Maru said, he'll have a look at his horse at 4.08, and he's a big chance of going around in that one as well.
Really interesting, Hazy. Loved having a chat to you this morning. We'll catch up with you Tuesday morning on the pace, and you've got In the Gig and more about the big Norway story to come. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Kev. Have a good day.
Greg Hayes there from, he's from Sky, obviously, but looking at what's going on in harness racing. We will preview the meeting at Tamworth coming up this afternoon after 11 o'clock here with Courtney Rees. 12 to 11 on Sky Sports Radio. In just a moment, we'll look at the chasing of Chasing and Pacing Rewinds.
G'day, I'm Craig Johnston. If you love your sport and you love breakfast and you want a program where you don't have to think, then these guys are for you.
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Flats. Weekdays 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One. Let us do the thinking for you.
Kiss and Makeup's giving a great sight. Capitalist under pressure. Kiss and Makeup. Will this be a Todman boiler? The Kiss and Makeup for Gay and Singer leads all the way.
Kiss and Makeup, the third highest rated two-year-old of his generation and the best value first season sire at $16,500 including GST with a live foal guarantee and payment terms March 2019. Kiss and Makeup, standing in New South Wales at Aquas Farms, Emirates Park. Speak to the sales team today or visit aquasfarm.com.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man, shaking it.
See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks worth of the Man Shake and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
For Greyhound racing followers, there's nothing more valuable than our dedicated show, Going Greyhound. Monday mornings at 10:30, you'll hear from trainers, officials, and most importantly, get the winners for all the featured Greyhound events. Going Greyhound is on Sky Sports Radio.
Chasing and Pacing Rewind, Sunday mornings at 10:30.
Yeah, we're into the Greyhound section of the show. Jess Moran from thedogs.com.au. Good morning, Jess.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well. We've got three big races to run the rule over this morning. Let's start with the Sandown Cup final on Thursday night. Fantabale got the cash. Let's listen to how Fantabale did the trick.
One down, left beautifully near the inside rail out. Hard Teddy Manelli's going to lead early though. Getting over Fantabale, followed by Dundee Osprey, Midnight Elsa, then Dundee Calypso. Burn one down, third last. Broly Bale, second last, trip to Wheaton, the tail ender. One to go on the Top Gun winner, Dundee Osprey. Went around the outside to grab the lead now and dashed away, turning into the back. Put up about four lengths on Midnight Elsa, followed by Fantabale. Burn one down, off around the outside, then Teddy Manelli. Dundee Calypso, trip to Wheaton, Broly Bale, the tail ender. Dundee Osprey, the one to get, he's clear. Four or five in front of Fantabale. Burn one down, then Midnight Elsa. Dundee Osprey turned in front though. Fantabale finishing well on the rail. Fantabale got two on the rail, grabbed the lead, and Fantabale, I'd say Fantabale's got there to beat Dundee Osprey in a rib-tickling finish to the Sandown Cup, then burn one down, followed further off in the race.
All righty, it was a rib-tickling finish in a classy field. Fantabale for Rob Britton got the cash at 3.90. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it was what a night it was down there at Sandown on Thursday. Obviously, one of the biggest nights of the year. We had the three Group 1 finals, and of course, the Sandown Cup was the highlight. And Yeah, look, based off last week's heats, I guess a lot of the money was going on Burn One Down, who started as the $2 race favourite. However, as you just heard, look, it was Robbie Britton's Banner Bale that took the prize. She became the first greyhound to win a Group 1 race over the three metro distances and took her prize money to over $700,000. She definitely didn't do it the easy way, though, because she had to come from midfield to get the win. And even her trainer, Robbie Britton, said before the race that she'd need to lead to be any chance in the race. But she obviously proved him wrong and took her tally to an amazing 4 Group 1 wins. And what's even more remarkable is that she doesn't turn 3 until August this year. So she's got plenty more racing ahead of her. So it'll be interesting to see whether she can catch the other famous Bale, of course, Fernando Bale, in the prize money records. But yeah, we also had we had 2 other Group 1 finals down there as well. We had the Group 1 Harrison Dawson final. And after his blitzing win in the Bill Collins Speedstar and his heat win last week, Bewildering was the clear short price favourite for the race, but he stumbled at lid rise and was never in it. And that brought the Anthony Karabasekas trained Black Mumbo well into the race, and he took his chance and ran away with the win in 29.53 from Jimmy Noob in one and a quarter lengths. His win was the biggest moment for the Karabasekas family in greyhound racing, and there was a lot of emotions trackside on Thursday. And interestingly, Black Mumbo only recently returned to the track in April after 3 months off due to a tonsil issue that was only picked up after a change of vet. And according to Anthony, the vet did an unbelievable job to get Black Mumbo back to the track. And all that work clearly paid off on Thursday night. And the last Group 1 final was, of course, the Sapphire Crown for the ladies. And all week it had been built up as a rematch between Strikers Line and Uphill Jill, who have met and battled it out in several group races recently. But it was a bit of a boil over when Marja Mahi Mahi began well and was able to hold off the fast finishing field for her trainer Ashley Terry's first ever Group 1 win. Marja Mahi Mahi began her career in New South Wales but moved to Victoria in January. And surprisingly, she was winless in all 4 of her starts at Sandown Park to date. But what a way to open her account at the track with a terrific 29.67 win over a very smart field, which included multiple group winners. And it was also nice to see a young female trying to get a big win like this too. There aren't many of them out there, but they certainly do punch above their weight when they get the chance.
Gee, isn't there some serious cash involved if you've got a good greyhound? $700,000, Fanta Vale, that's just serious money in anybody's language. 700 grand. Amazing.
I know. But look, 4 Group 1 wins, there's a lot of money down there in Victoria. So she certainly earned it, though, by all means. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do with her from now on. She'll be 3 in August, so she's still got plenty of racing ahead of her if they want to go that way. But I don't know if they might think about, taking her off to the breeding barn soon.
Okay, well, speaking of big money, there was certainly plenty of cash on offer in the, well, aptly named Richmond Riches on Friday night. Here's Tim Newbold's call of the final.
Richmond Riches final, 100 G's awaiting the winner and the green light through. Here we go, set and ready. Racing, Mr. Twister got away in a hurry. Pick It Up began brilliantly. Pick It Up is going to lead on settling over Mr. Twister and Fast Times. They'll follow by Kong and Victor Charlie. Bobby Rudd, Artem Grin, Big Black at the rear. Down the back and Little Pick It Up led 1.5 on Mr. Twister. They'll follow by Fast Times. Victor Charlie's running on a gap to Kong. Coming to the turn, Pick It Up tackled by Mr. Twister, who shot away, going to second Fast Times. But it's Mr. Twister, he'll reign supreme over Fast Times and Kong. Motor to grab third. They're all followed in by Victor Charlie.
Loving Timmy Newbold's work there. He's pumped for the big ones, is Tim. Mr. Twister, Jason McKay beats Fast Time and Kong. What are your thoughts about that one?
Yeah, look, it was a great crowd packed in out there at Richmond on Friday night. Brad and the club really try to make this series an event and a showpiece, so it was good to see them really draw a good crowd out there. And the final for me couldn't have been better scripted. Over the past 3 weeks, it has been all about 2 dogs in particular, and that's how it lined up. Mr. Twister, trained by Jason McKay, and Fast Times, trained by Tony Brett, were head and shoulders above the other competitors in the series, with both of them winning their heats and semi-finals in the fastest times. There was really nothing between them up until the box draw, and I reckon that played the biggest role in the result on Friday. Mr. Twister ended up with the gun draw in box 1, while Fast Times drew out wide in box 7, and he was surrounded by a couple of other handy dogs in the series, including Kong and Victor Charlie. And I think that George just gave Mr. Twister the chance to power out to the lead, while Fast Times had to do a little bit more work to get around the field and into position. Mr. Twister won the race in the first 100 metres, and it was going to take something special from Fast Times to get back in it, but he just couldn't do enough. It was a very entertaining race, and it's interesting to note that this is the second year in a row in the series that the series has been taken out by the highest priced auction lot. So I think it goes to show that the pedigree and the quality of these greyhounds is very, very apparent early on. And, of course, I should also mention as well that this is only one leg of the Richmond Riches series. We've also got two separate series for the stayers and also for the sprinters over the shorter trip as well, which will be coming up in the next few months out there at Richmond. So make sure to keep an eye on those as well.
All righty, and then we'll head west now, because last night Cannington was the Group 2 WA Oaks final, a race worth $57,000, again with the big money. Here's Peter O'Neill's call of the final.
Linny Danko began quickly, also fast away was My Name's Emma, hunting up on the inside was West on Beth, then followed by Cadiz Trouble Early, hunting up on the inside, Moment to Jive gets through, and then followed by West on Maisie, well back, Weedle Manelli, Moment to Rumba, and also Cadiz, but down the back, and Linny Danko shot away, out by six lengths, Moment to Jive runs into second, then followed by West on Maisie, behind them West on Beth, and My Name's Emma on the corner, Linny Danko by five lengths, Moment to Jive runs into second, but Linny Danko takes it out for Cozzy D'Agostino, big run, Moment to Jive second, third in West on Maisie, then followed by Weedle Manelli, My Name's Emma, West on Beth, well back was Moment to Rumba, and Cadiz had no luck at all. 29.88.
There it was, the Group 2 Oaks, Leany Danko, $3.60 it paid from Moment to Jive, West on Maisie, Jess.
Yeah, look, I think the Oaks just rounded out the great week of racing last week, and yeah, it was, I have to say, it was probably a little bit of an upset again. I think after last week's heat, it looks like the Chris House train West on Maisie and the Sarah Appleton train Moment to Jive, they would be tough to beat based on their super quick heat result. However, that wasn't the way it played out. Instead, Linny Danko, who is trained by Cozzy DiCostino, got the prize after leading all the way for 29.88. And I think it was a little bit surprising because Linny Danko only finished second in one of the slowest heats last week. And to be honest, I don't think many people expected her to improve so much in quality company. She really just did run away with it. But look, I think she's found a patch of good form though, with three wins now at Cannington from her last four starts. But before that, her form was a bit mixed. So it'll be interesting to see whether she can carry on winning over there in WA and go on with it after a great win on last night.
All righty, what's ahead for the next 7 days or so?
Yeah, look, we've got some big racing coming up. On Monday, we've got Bathurst, Nowra and Grafton. On Tuesday, we are heading to Goulburn, Gosford and Casino. Wednesday, we're going to have our regulars at Richmond and Wentworth Park. Maitland and Dubbo will be on Thursday. Friday, we've got a big race card in New South Wales, including Casino, the Gardens, Wagga and Richmond. And then Saturday, we head back out to the Gardens, Bulleye, and then there's a huge meeting at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. We've got the Group 1 Peter Mosman Heat. It's a three-week series, $75,000 to the winner. And excitingly, Jason McKay confirmed after Friday night that Richmond Riches winner Mr. Twister will head to Wentworth Park to be part of the series. There have also been quite a few other greyhounds like Cosmic Bonus and Patch Adam who have had solid hit outs at the track in the past couple of weeks. And if those races are anything to go by, I reckon it should be a good couple of weeks coming up. So the draw comes out on Tuesday around midday, so make sure to visit thedogs.com.au for the full field for the Group 1 Peter Mosman Heats on Saturday night at Wentworth Park.
Great one. Thank you, Jess. Appreciate your time. Always good fun chatting greyhounds with you, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
Jess Moran from thedogs.com.au. We'll have a look at the Canberra program with Kelly O'Rourke shortly, and there's been some good news come through the last day or so in regards to the future of Canberra greyhound racing. Kel, no doubt, will be waxing lyrical about that. We have Healesville as our first race, first greyhound race up in a moment, but there's a delay. It's a minute past start time. Number 7, Venn's Revenger, 280 on the fix, 320 on the tote. Number 3, Dorset Dasher at 460, 4 Kelly Star at 480. But number 5 here, Who's Caneo, is being re-betted, so there's a delay. Healesville race 1. It's the first heat of the tab.com.au series. So we'll go to Healesville in just a moment, just after 11 o'clock on Sky Sports Radio.
During the Queensland Winter Carnival, you need Punters Postmortem. Ron Duffy, Dean Lester and Brisbane's Josh Fleming will wrap up the weekend racing and take your talkback call. Monday morning at 9, Punters Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio.
At Bing Lee, for a limited time, purchase a selected washing machine and get it delivered, plus the packaging, and I'll wash it, take it away for free. Only at Bing Lee and only for a limited time. See in store or binglee.com.au for details.
First race of Healesville, a 5-minute delay now, time to go at 11:06.
Every morning, Racing HQ brings you the best form analysts throughout New South Wales as we preview the day's major race meeting. Plus, the latest tab fixed odds markets. Racing HQ, your perfect race day start from 10 a.m.